Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
When I came on the air a week ago, it was 2 degrees. Today, 81 degrees in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The rest of Texas also very warm in the mid-70s to 80 degrees. Oh, my. You have to be kidding me. In fact, right now, and I know you listen to me at different times, but it is 64 degrees. Kate Delaney, I hope wherever you are, you're experiencing some nice weather, or at least you shoveled up the snow, and at least you have electricity, you're not shivering, and hopefully your water is running. As a result of last week, 5 ERCOT board members who live out of state resigned following the devastating storms, and you couple that with massive amount of insurance claims with busted pipes and everything else. In fact, State Farm adjusters went virtual because there are 34,000 plus claims rolling in for Texas winter storm relief. Here's what happened. Here's all the damage. Even the schools in North Texas, most of the schools are closed indefinitely. You would think, oh, the COVID problems, right? No. Winter weather damage. Plumbers aren't getting any sleep. They're exhausted. Do you feel sorry for them? They're exhausted, seriously. There aren't parts to be had when you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or any of the other hardware places, the usual spots that you would hit up because of the busted pipes. So it is crazy week two in a much different direction. Since I brought it up, I'm going to briefly touch on this and bounce around here. But when we talk about Dallas and we talk about Texas overall and the electric reliability, I want to say unreliable, the Reliability Council of Texas, of course people resigned because they knew that they're the laughingstock of the world and the rest of the United States. So effective as of the 24th, they're out. A fifth board member separately resigned. There was 4 that just resigned right away. Then the fifth one did, so that's 5. Governor Greg Abbott sent out a statement saying he would welcome the resignations, and he got those resignations, right? So you now have some openings on ERCOT, and that doesn't allow the board to come up with a better plan, I think, moving forward, because this is a nightmare that Texas is going to have a lot to live down. And you're still in a situation in Texas where you're not sure that you found everyone who's died yet, which is crazy to think about that, right? It was that bad, that shocking, and it was a complete meltdown. I mean, a real true meltdown when you have 4 million plus people without electricity at some point, and then you get to the water situation. It's just unacceptable. Unacceptable. And in the middle of a pandemic, when in 2011 they knew that it happened then, and why take chances? How could you possibly take any chances with that? Especially when you look at, when you do look at the pandemic and already the hardship that people have gone through, where over 500,000 Americans have died from this horrible, horrible virus. Besides the Texas jokes and the Texas sadness, because a lot of people have reached out to people with Texas, most people today at some point were talking about Tiger Woods and what happened to Tiger Woods, the golf legend, is responsive and awake and recovering in a hospital. So what happened to Tiger Woods? He was in California for a golf tournament that his foundation is part of. And he was involved in a rollover crash and suffered multiple leg injuries. He had open fractures affecting the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones. He has a smashed ankle, something also with his foot, too, as well. So screws, pins, all the things that you would need, surgically speaking, to help trauma of the soft tissue and the muscle. And this is a guy who was recovering from a back injury and was getting ready to play in a handful of weeks, I guess 6-8 weeks, in the Masters. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said Woods was the only person in the SUV. Firefighters and paramedics had to use jaws of life to get him out. They had to pull him out of the front windshield. And he crashed into the raised median shortly before 7:15, then crossed to oncoming lanes, rolled several times. That's what happened. So major, major damage to that SUV and major damage to him. And it could have been worse. You look at that car, and airbags looked like they were deployed. Luggage flew out of it. It was a rough, rough crash. It could have been much worse. Happened about 30 miles or so south of downtown L.A. in an area called Rancho Palos Verdes. It's known for a couple of really kind of squiggly roads. And if he had any kind of speed, I could see that happening. And as I said, he was in California because he hosted the PGA's Genesis Invitational, is what it was called, over the weekend. And it was really kind of scary to see it. But they got him out, and it's now it's all about recovery. So he's done that recovery thing. And so, of course, everybody and anyone, the common man and woe man, were tweeting about this or talking about this, and so were well-known people. They were tweeting to him. You know, people like Alex Rodriguez, praying for my brother at Tiger Woods, were anxiously awaiting more news, thinking of him and his entire family, and, of course, so many others doing the same thing. Even President Trump said or was quoted as saying, you know, get well soon, you're a true champion. And in 2019, he gave Woods the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So it is kind of a shocker because his name makes you immediately think what happened, especially when you see the SUV that he was in. And, of course, now his spokespeople are saying he's been expressing gratitude after recovering from this car crash in the hospital. In the meantime, while all of that is going on, it's a much different story what was happening in Washington, D.C., and that was all about January 6th and security and who's to blame. And you had former Capitol security officials talking about the lapse in intelligence, and that's what was so shocking about what had happened at the Capitol. Talking about that and a few other things as we mix it up with another version of We Can Count.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. The date in question, top officials responsible for security at the Capitol as it was being overrun by a mob blamed wide-ranging intelligence failures for the deadly attacks at the Senate hearing on Tuesday. What were those laps? They pointed to the fact that a missed email warning of a violent and larger inability to recognize that thread posted a threat. And they could have known about this domestic right-wing extremism that was about to smash into them, is what they labeled it. And you had three people who have resigned. You had Capitol Police Chief Steve Sund. You had House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving and Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stenger, who each tried to minimize their responsibility for the events that unfolded on that chaotic and violent day, in which resulted in the death of a Capitol Police officer, Brian Sicknick, and others. So they detailed how they were caught off guard by the scale of the crowd, which escalated from a relatively peaceful protest to all of a sudden this mob in a span of hours where they were scrambling. And investigations now underway by Congress committees. This is trying to provide what the answers are that people want to know, and hoping to get some sense of what happened as to why they were so blindsided. So they were saying the intelligence assessment, again and again, they got indicated a pro-Trump rally similar to two others that had taken place in the weeks before, that there wasn't any justification for military deployment because it was peaceful and there wasn't a problem. They didn't need any of that. So there was a lot of defense, I guess, and deflection, and talking about the fact that they didn't get the intelligence that they needed. And even Sun told senators that federal intelligence community overall needs to broaden its aperture on what information it collects, and called for the examination of the view they have on some of the domestic extremists and the effect that they have. So I think it's fascinating to hear what they had to say. FBI, Pentagon, Department of Homeland Security, what did they not let the Capitol Police know? And it sounds like there were a lot of holes in that information. And it resulted in a lot of holes in the wall and things being smashed and broken. So now it is, you know, senators were talking about that, what do you do focusing moving ahead and looking at changes that would have to be considered because of the attack? And she said the question I've been thinking about, they want people to be able to visit, but that doesn't mean they don't want to make some smart security changes to the building. And people are going to have to realize that it's not going to be just like it used to be. Boy, is that not the phrase that we hear constantly in this time that we're living in? It's not going to be like it used to be. So you used to be able to go to the Capitol, tool around Washington, no problem. You knew a senator or a congressperson, or you called them up, you got some tickets, you went in, you toured the White House, etc. Now it's much, much more difficult. So 3 is the number, the 3X Capitol Police, the lapses in the security. January 6th was the date, and we're not done with that part of the puzzle yet by a long, 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 long stretch. All right, a couple of other things as we bounce around here and numbers. I say this all the time, and I guess I don't need to say this. It's like the parrot who keeps repeating the same phrase over and over again, but I like numbers. And I think numbers are all around us, like Pfizer, Moderna, JJ, Pledge, Johnson & Johnson, that is 240 million COVID vaccine doses by the end of March. That's good for people who want to get vaccinated, maybe enough to help really create that wave that's necessary to open things up a little bit more, right? Just a little bit more. One can only hope. That's a very, very big number. It made me think, kind of like the, in a different way, kind of like the shocking energy bill that one guy got for $7,000 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Shopping around for electricity, you could get burned in the great state of Texas. I mean, I have to laugh or cry because I know some people that have gotten burned by that. And speaking of Texas, the president is traveling to Houston on Friday. He said he didn't want to be an interference while everything was falling apart. He didn't want to have motorcades, everything else that you would have to have that would mess with what was going on the ground. At least 29 deaths have been reported as a result of the storms. The White House spokesperson, one of them, Jen Psaki, said additional details of his trip in Houston are coming together, and then they're releasing where he's going to go, that kind of thing. They know he's going to visit a COVID health center where vaccines are being distributed, and he's going to meet with local leaders and talk about winter storms, relief efforts, progress toward recovery, and Houston being resilient, whatever that is. And 2 months into his swearing-in ceremony, Friday is his first presidential visit to a state following a national disaster. It is a national disaster, and it's not lost on the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, who had initially requested that all 254 counties be approved for relief, but thanked the president for partially granting the request, because the major disaster declaration pumps money into Texas, and that's what they needed to happen, with the impact of the public water system still in disruption. As of Tuesday, 7.9 million people also still impacted by public water. Bottled water, spilling things up. Ooh, just nasty, nasty, nasty stuff. How about GameStop? The GameStop CFO resigned a month after the Reddit trading frenzy. People will fall. That's when something like that happens, someone's going down. Because it was a wild ride. So the company announced that Jim Bell, its executive vice president CFO, resigning from his roles at the end of March. They are searching for a new CFO. You've got to remember, from the start of the year to January 27th, the stock closed at $347.51, gained 1,915%. That's a shocking number. GameStop stock is now trading at $45. A big dip, but still above where it started last year. So some of the shenanigans maybe helped it. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But bottom line is GameStop moves on from the CFO, and I don't think that's a surprise. Somebody had to pay. There's too many questions, just like the electric situation in Texas. The GameStop's overall, the GameStop roller coaster ride, yes, there were people that were furious. There were people that were questioning why. Why is it a big deal? And then there was more discussion about the stock market in 2 weeks than I have heard in a very long time across all platforms, right? So not just one, but all platforms. All right, if you're thinking of going solar, scientists working at the Pentagon have successfully tested a solar panel the size of a pizza box in space, designed as a prototype for a future system to send electricity from space back to any point on Earth. Yeah, how about that? Known as PRAM, it was launched in May of 2020. It was attached to a drone, an unmanned drone, to harness light from the sun to convert to electricity. The drone is looping Earth every 90 minutes. Cool. Looping. Hashtag looping the Earth. Think about it. Coming up, we're going to the man cave, and we're going to talk about wolves. Oh, yeah. You're going to want to pick up this novel. Hang with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The House will vote on President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief package this Friday, according to the House Majority Leader. Representative Steny Hoyer said that the bill will come to the House floor Friday morning with a vote to follow. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he was disappointed that Democrats would try to ram a partisan COVID bill through.
As you know, 10 of our members actually went down, met with the president, and talked about a more narrow, targeted approach. The message was that they were not interested in doing it that way. They're going to try to muscle us through on a totally partisan basis. And I think I can safely speak for most of my members that we think this is dramatically more money than is required at this particular juncture. It also includes a number of things that have absolutely nothing to do with COVID relief.
This is USA Radio News. Four members of the board of Texas's power grid operator will resign following the blackouts during last week's winter storms. Chairwoman Sally Talberg, Vice Chairman Peter Crampton, Finance and Audit Committee Chair Terry Bulger, and Human Resources and Governance Committee Chair Raymond Hepper announced their intent Tuesday to resign from the board of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. More than 3 million people were left without power following the brutal winter weather last week, with ERCOT citing frozen equipment for the loss of power output. And Tom Vilsack was confirmed by the Senate Tuesday to serve as President Biden's agriculture secretary. The former Iowa governor was confirmed by a 92-7 vote. Vilsack previously served in the same position under President Obama, the only of his cabinet members to serve for Obama's entire term in office. During his confirmation hearing, Vilsack cited the coronavirus pandemic and climate change as necessary priorities, saying the problems facing the department are completely different than the last time he'd served as secretary. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave.
All right, welcome to the man cave, or the low man cave as well, as I like to call it. Big news, and we would definitely be talking about this, Tiger Woods. You know, they just had the two-part series on Tiger Woods that aired on HBO, and I mean just several weeks ago, and still on HBO. But Tiger Woods was in surgery today after the SUV he was in rolled over in a crash. It happened early in the morning. It was a serious car accident. They had to use the jaws of life to get him from this SUV. He apparently has multiple leg injuries, and that's what they were working on. Emergency responders went to the rollover crash. Like I said, it was about 7:12 or something like that in the morning in Rancho Palos Verdes. And they say from the initial report, it looked like two broken legs, and the injuries weren't thought to be life-threatening. And his agent has said that, has released a statement about that, because there was so much concern. Of course, he's at the Harbor UCLA Medical Center. And according to what the sheriff's department says, it was just a single rollover traffic collision that early in the morning, which, if you don't know where that area is, it's about 20 miles south of Los Angeles. Major damage to the SUV. Now, the cause of the wreck, nobody's saying that at this point. It's the two lanes, and I know this area a little bit, it curves through the suburb, and he was driving on the, you know, descending on some steep curves, I guess. And there are signs that warn you to use lower gears. The speed limit is 45. There's video footage and some photos, and it looks like he hit a curb and took out a Rolling Hills Estate sign, because you could see luggage could be seen, you know, coming out of the SUV. So they did have to use, like I said, they did have to
extricate him from the windshield of the SUV. That's how they did it. And people immediately are jumping to conclusions as, what was it? What could it be? But they're not investigating it as any kind of a DUI or anything like that. And another car stopped and pulled over to the side of the road to help Woods after the accident and was hit by another vehicle that came over the hill. Luckily, that was a minor traffic accident. Can you imagine? With no injuries. And he's been rehabbing from this back procedure he had in December. And he was there because of the Genesis Invitational, a PGA Tour event that's at the Riviera Country Club in Pacific Palisades. And his foundation, the tournament is run by his foundation. And on Sunday, in an interview with CBS during the final round of that, Wood suggested that he had yet to ramp up golf activity following his fifth back procedure, and he didn't give any kind of a timetable for his return. So this is not great news on that front or by any accounts. And, you know, lots of well wishes all over Twitter and everywhere else, including golf legend Jack Nicklaus, who said that, you know, Barbara and I just heard about the accident, and I, like everyone else, were deeply concerned. We want to offer our heartfelt support and prayers at the difficult time. Please join us in wishing Tiger a successful surgery for a speedy recovery. So very, very big news. And you think of what's coming up, even like the Masters. I can't imagine that happens. And Woods is a, 82 times a PGA Tour winner. And he came back to golf in 2018 after overcoming those injuries and enduring a bout with prescription pain medication that led to a 2017 DUI arrest and the subsequent probation. But anyway, here it is, an accident in Los Angeles. Early in the morning, Tiger Woods' name all over the place the second that happened, because he's obviously iconic and people know him even just by his first name. And we certainly wish him a speedy recovery. Wow. So if we're in the man cave, we would certainly be talking about that a bunch. There is no question. And then we might talk about what's going to happen in the off season in the NFL, right? Now that we're way through the Super Bowl and we've been there, done that, there's lots of conversations about franchise tags. There's a lot of conversations about players' moves already and what that will look like. And it's interesting, you know, you had Carson Wentz, of course, who was the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, the shocker in a trade, which I think was for a mere pittance, and who knows, could be the Colts' game with a change of scenery. But one of the things that happens sometimes with players when they go to another team is that they want the number. You know, they want the number that they wore or the number they're comfortable with or a number that they've had from the beginning of their career. So I guess no amount of money is going to get quarterback Carson Wentz his number 11 jersey with his new team. Colts second-year receiver Michael Pittman Jr. wears number 11. He says he's talked to Wentz about the number, and the answer is a no possible switch. He says no deal. You know, it's not uncommon for players on new teams to try to buy their jersey number for a very big amount of money. Isn't that wild? From another one of their teammates. Sometimes the teammate will give up the number, but the Colts agreed, of course, to acquire Wentz to be their new starting quarterback from the Eagles for a 2021 third-round pick, a 2022 second-round pick that could turn into a first-round pick. There's a lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas. Who knows? Wentz, of course, again, wore number 11 at North Dakota State University and during his first 5 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. And players and athletes, maybe some of you are like this, are superstitious. And they, if they have a number, they like to keep that number. But I love how Pittman just he's saying, nah, it's not about the money. I mean, obviously he feels the same way. He wants his number. He wants to keep his number. Boom. You know, that's it. So let's go to the hardwoods. We'll mix some of that conversation and we put the damper on with the Tiger Woods scenario. Although again, if you just tuned in, jaws of life, he's pulled out of the windshield of the front of the SUV. He's having surgery on his legs. At the scene, they were saying it looked like two broken legs, that kind of thing. And, in one sense, it's lucky that it wasn't much more serious. Looking at the SUV, it's shocking the way that it got crunched up. So And that's a good thing that, that they were able to pull him out. And again, that even though it has to have he has to have surgery, and I'm not saying there's not severity there, but I mean, you think jaws of life and you think what people go through, and sometimes they don't make it, certainly. All right. Now we're in the NBA at that point in the season where people are talking about, we're not really at the midway point, but we're at the serious point. Like, what's happening? What do we need to tweak? What are we changing? What are we working on? And the Lakers lost in overtime to the Wizards on Monday night. LeBron James is saying, because he gets this question all the time, can he handle the workload? And he did 40 minutes for the fourth time in a month. 40 minutes. I want you to think about it, guys. 40 minutes on the hardwoods. Think of yourself 40 minutes, but think at this high level what that's like. And he says, I've never talked about it. I don't talk about it. I don't believe in it. We all need more rest. Bah, bah, bah. You know, this whole narrative of that. Should I take more rest? Do I need more time here? He says it's a lot bigger than what it actually is. He said, I love this, actually. He says, I'm here to work. I'm here to punch my clock in and be available to my teammates. If I'm hurt or I'm not feeling well, then we can look at it then. But I have nothing but being honest. I'm being honest with myself as well. My love for the game, being able to be there for my teammates is more important than anything. You know, he, in this loss, in this really tight game that they could have pulled out, he had 31 points, 13 assists, and 9 boards, and he said he wasn't his sharpest. He played 43 minutes. So that means if you do the math, and I'm iffy on the math thing, but I like numbers, he played all but 1 minute and 6 seconds, all but 1 minute and 6 seconds of the fourth quarter and overtime. That's crazy, right? But it's like he said, look, this is what I do. And he said, too, because he missed a few at the end that would have made a big difference. And he said, I take full responsibility missing that free throw. I got to make the free throw up there. It's an easy point for us, but we didn't lose the game there. But I take responsibility for sure, and I got to be better. So for the first month and a half of the season, the Lakers coach Frank Vogel was kind of better at managing, I guess, if you wanted to talk about the time, the minutes for LeBron James, which he hates this conversation. And I said at the top, 18 years he's been in the league. But I do agree with him. If he's not pushing himself, he says, if he wants to be out there and he wants to play and he wants to be there for his teammates, you know, that's the deal. I mean, something's working because he's the heart and soul of the champions. And Vogel says that. He knows that. He is a workhorse. So are you going to have your best player out there? Are you going to have your workhorse out there? The answer is, you could say your take could be, well, that's a lot of time. Does he really need to, you know, maybe there's a better way to conserve his time. But I say there is something about him being on the floor. And honestly, if he wants to be there, then I think that he needs to be there, period. You know, end of story. You know, let him be there. All right, and one last shot, because, you know, speaking of aging or retiring, so many people are talking about Serena Williams and with the crazy stats that she has, nothing to prove, maybe one of the greatest of all time, certainly one of the greatest of all time in tennis for U.S. women, why not retire? And especially, you know, she lost to Naomi Osaka, and Naomi Osaka is incredible, young, etc. She's now number 2 because of that win in the WTA rankings. And then there's an American, Jennifer Brady, who was the runner-up to Osaka, who jumped 11 spots to number 13, her first time inside the top 20, and she's a bright spot for America, so watch her. But, you know, Serena climbed 4 spots. She went from number 11 to number 7 and back into the top 10. She made it to the semifinals after losing in the third round there. She was beaten by Osaka 6-4, 6-3. But if she wants to keep playing and she feels like she can keep playing, let her play. Let's still see some more from Serena. All right, we're talking about Wolves next. I'm going to introduce you to an interesting author, Steve Benton. Hang with us. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you?
So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the health stocks boom in the U.S. markets. With the pandemic affecting virtually every aspect of American life, people are ready to get past the crisis and get on with living. We've identified a company that could scale up widespread rapid testing and get our economy back on track sooner rather than later. And we want to introduce you to this groundbreaking company with your free subscription to Avid Stock News Trends. Text the word test to 48542 to get info on this undervalued rapid testing technology that can deliver results in as little as 15 minutes. Demand for testing devices could outstrip supply for the foreseeable future. Text the word test to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Stock News Trends. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Avid Stock News Trends. Text the word test to 48542. Text test to 48542.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The book is called Year of the Wolf. Steve Venton is the author, and he joins us now in Author's Corner. Steve, appreciate the time. Thanks for popping on.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about writing this book. What was your journey to deciding, hey, I'm going to write this book?
Well, I thought for years about writing a novel, but it wasn't until I had some bad things happen to me that I began to write it.
So when you have some bad things happen and you write it, does it make you feel better to write the book?
Yeah, it was very comforting to create characters in a plot that had danger and excitement in it.
Yeah. So tell us about the book, Year of the Wolf. What's it about?
Well, I'll read actually a little excerpt. In a terrifying turn of events, man has become the hunted rather than the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Rampaging wolf packs have overpopulated the Adirondacks, and some powerful people are involved. And the thought that wolves could be involved in this plot was fascinating to me, and how to weave it into the story became evident, stemming from a devious plan to make hundreds of millions or maybe even billions of dollars.
And you have a main character, Jonathan Wilkes, who worked at the Pentagon, worked for the Pentagon as a computer analyst for like a decade, and has a successful career, what people would call success, and now he's headed away from that, and he's going to reconcile with his parents, and you take us through that journey. What's Jonathan Wilkes like?
Well, he's actually a very heroic person. He's the only one who can find an answer to the situation that they find themselves in the Adirondacks, and the only one who can solve the mystery and come up with a plan. He's a cyberspace hero.
And what's interesting is you said it, it's about the wolves, and I think there's like the analogy of the wolves there. And you talk about that it could endanger the safety of millions of people who vacation in the Adirondack Mountains and over 3,000 people that live there. When you wrote about the wolf, what was it like writing about them, writing about, you know, digging deeper and finding out more about their characteristics? What did you find out about wolves?
Well, I found that they can be very dangerous, which I knew already, actually. And they will attack if given the right opportunity.
So when you have a place that's being overpowered by wolves that and they can attack when they're provoked, and you know, I don't want you to tell us the ending or what happens all the way through, but there's a lot of excitement and adventure in this. How did you come up with that and weave that plot in when you designed it? Did it just sort of come to you, or did you have a set way that you would think of an idea and then flesh out a chapter?
Well, actually, as I was writing, the story took on a life of its own. And the plot began to come together sometimes in unexpected ways. I knew basically what the conclusion of the story was, but didn't know exactly how to get there. But it became clear as the story progressed. One event led to another, and I was literally led step by step to the conclusion.
Did you ever think you'd write a book like this, a novel?
I wasn't really sure. I thought about it, but it didn't really happen until I really started to write it and sit down and spend time thinking about it.
Yeah. From the time you started thinking about it and the time you put it together, how long did that take?
It took years, actually.
So it was in your head, you were thinking about it, then you start to write it, and then you do it. So when it takes years, and congratulations on doing a book. So many people talk about writing a book and they never do it. The journey of doing it, putting it down, and then actually seeing the physical copy, what was that feeling like?
It was kind of exciting, and it was also gave me a feeling of responsibility to my readers.
Yeah, that's a sign of a good writer, that you feel responsible for how they feel or what happens and the journey that you take them on. What do you hope, speaking of readers, that people get out of reading your book?
Well, first and foremost, I want them to understand what the theme of the book is, which is no matter how bad life gets, God is available to all who will call on him in sincerity and truth, based on the truth of God's word.
And so having that religion for you, is that what helped you get through and belief? Was that what helped get you through your rough times?
Yes, actually, in real life, that's what got me through some very difficult times myself. I can relate to that.
Yeah, so having that as a theme in the book, and you and I talked about this. What's so interesting is you actually wrote a book that I think anyone can read, that I know anyone can read, because it's got the suspense, it's got the plot, it takes you on a journey, it takes you out of that journey, and you have a book that isn't filled with things that, you know, it's what I call like a clean book. There's not a lot of swearing in it. There's no swearing in it. There's none of that. And that was on purpose, right?
Right. I wanted that to be a book that was readable for anybody.
Yeah. And in doing that, you consciously are working on that as you're writing it. Right?
That's correct. And also, not only is there no profanity, there's no sexually explicit passages in there.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I didn't even think about that in going through the chapters. I just, you just get lost in the journey, and that's the sign of a good novel. You're waiting to see what's happening. You're anticipating it and what's going to happen with these wolves and what's happening with the people. And it's, I mean, the Adirondacks, and you said it and you painted that, there's just so many people there. And it would be an incredible disaster if that happened, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, for sure.
And it's funny.
Put a lot of people in danger.
Yeah, for a lot of people, put a lot of people in danger. And there are areas that are close to areas where there are wolves, of course. And it's interesting because especially when the world is kind of shut down, you see that you've got nature coming in. And so it's your plot is interesting because it is something that's not in not plausible. I mean, this is, it's weird. It's something, it made me think of that. It's something that could happen. So will you write another book because you had such a good time in actually doing this and making it happen? Will you write something in the future?
I'm looking to write a sequel to the book eventually.
Ah, so a sequel. So that means you're thinking of ideas of what can happen next with your main character.
That's right.
That.
It should be interesting because I have a surprise for all my readers.
Ah, you have a surprise of what's going to happen. So is John your favorite character?
Yes, he is. And the reason is he's the only one who can find an answer to the situation. And hero.
Yeah, so he's the problem solver.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we may see the sequel with this book and, you know, who knows where it goes from there. What was the reaction to the people around you to you writing a book?
I think maybe they were surprised.
Well,
I've had a lot of interest in the book.
Yeah, so that's good. So you surprise the people around you, and then you have people interested in the book. Well, anybody listening to us, you can get the book, Year of the Wolf, Steve Venton. Thank you for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
To pick up a copy of Year of the Wolf, you can go to Amazon, but you can also go to StephenVenton.com. And if you go to his website, you can read more about the book and you can buy it there. But he's got some fascinating facts about wolves. Like, we know, we've heard since we were kids, right, what a wolf pack is. So it's a family unit. There's like 4 to, did you know this, to 30 or so members. And how fast are these wolves and how big are these wolves? A large timber, or what they call gray wolf, and he talks about it, can weigh about 180 pounds if they're male. A female reaches 120 pounds. And check this out. I'm not going to tell you more because you have to go to his website to see, but the bite force of a large wolf can reach over 1,000 pounds of pressure. Do you know that that's greater, as he says on his website, than the bite of a Siberian tiger? Ooh, yikes. All right, thanks so much for listening to this interview and this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.